We live in a world that turns quickly, and it seems that it's always been that way. One day someone is praised, lifted up as a hero, and the next they're forgotten, even attacked. Think of Julius Caesar, welcomed back to Rome after conquering Gaul and named dictator for life by the Senate. And yet the same Senate, just a few weeks later, applauded as he was assassinated by other senators and by so-called friends. Or think about Winston Churchill, Britain's prime minister whose voice thundered during the Blitz and who newspapers called the savior of Britain. And yet, just 2 months after victory in Europe, he was voted out of office. The world is a fickle and uncertain place, and there's no day when that fickle and uncertain nature is more clear than this day, than Palm Sunday. On that first Palm Sunday, people shouted with joy and waved palm fronds as Jesus entered Jerusalem. And by Friday, the cheers had turned to jeers, and the shouting was now, "Crucify, crucify him." And it wasn't just the crowd. His closest friends, the disciples, they also turned on him. One sold him out. Another denied him 3 times. The rest seemed to flee and hide. Yes, our world is an unstable place, and Palm Sunday forces us to ask the question, how will we find stability in this uncertain and unstable world? How will we find stability? Looking back 2,000 years ago, what changed between Palm Sunday and Good Friday? The simplest explanation is the crowds went from Hosanna to crucify him because the people around them, especially their leaders, especially those who swayed public opinion, those who today we would call influencers, they wanted him gone. They saw how the crowds reacted to Jesus, and they realized how much of a threat he was to their privilege and their power and their positions of influence. One voice said, "He's dangerous." Another voice said, "He's not who we thought." And then a voice began to shout, "Crucify him." And more voices joined in until the crowd was shouting together. The world Jesus lived in was fickle and uncertain. And the world we live in today is also. Just like people 2,000 years ago, we are easily swayed by fear and by power and by public opinion. So what will we do when the voices around us are constantly changing and shouting different things? Will we follow the crowd shouting the slogan of the day? Or will we, like the disciples, go along to get along, afraid to proclaim what we really believe? Or can we find a third way, a way that is faithful and grounded and stable? We like to think we're so advanced. I do this at times. We have Wi-Fi in our pockets. We have AI on our phones. Oftentimes we can look at our wrist and see the newest email or the newest news update. But let's not kid ourselves. Just like people 2,000 years ago were influenced by those around them, so are we. We're not just moved by truth, we're moved by trends, by the catchiest advertisements, the loudest voices. Do you realize that today companies spend over $1 million, over $1 million for just 4 seconds of Super Bowl advertisement time? And they only do this because they know that you and I are susceptible, apparently very susceptible, to listen to the message they're telling, to buy whatever they're selling. We live in an unstable world. Desmond Doss was not your typical war hero. He didn't carry a gun. He didn't throw grenades. Desmond Doss believed that when the Bible said, "Thou shalt not kill," that's exactly what it meant. So when the United States entered World War II, Desmond signed up to join the army, but he signed up as a conscientious objector. Can you imagine the sort of pressure that Desmond Doss faced? His fellow soldiers mocked him. They called him a coward. They threw shoes at him in the barracks. Desmond was buffeted by waves from every side, by pressure from the military, by scorn from his peers, by a culture that said real patriots carry rifles. But Desmond stayed steady in his beliefs. He found strength not to surrender his convictions. He found stability in an uncertain world. How? He didn't find strength by joining the crowd. He didn't find strength by surrendering his principles. Instead, he found strength by turning to his faith. He drew close to Christ. He said, "I'm going to serve my country, but I'm not going to compromise my God." And much like Desmond Doss found steadiness in the storm when the world around him was falling apart, so too were there people on that first Holy Week who did the same, who didn't give in to the jeers of the crowd, who didn't run and hide like some of the followers of Jesus, who didn't keep their heads down and their mouths shut. There were some who stood their ground, who were stable in their convictions, and who found peace in the midst of chaos. How did they do it? They drew close to Christ. Think of the centurion, a Roman soldier, not Jewish, not a disciple of Jesus, but as he watched Jesus die, something inside of him broke open. Something somehow from the depths of his soul caused him to say, "Surely this man was innocent." Or in other gospels, "Surely this man was righteous. Surely this man was the Son of God." That's what it looks like to draw close to Christ. Or think of the repentant thief on the cross. His body broken, his life nearly gone, no time to earn redemption, but in that darkest of moments, he turned his face towards Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus looked back with mercy in his eyes and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Even at the hour of his death, he drew close to Christ. And then there were those fearless, faithful women, the women who didn't run or scatter, who didn't shrink back. They stood at the foot of the cross. They stayed with Jesus while he was mocked and cursed and raged against. And their reward? Come Easter morning, they were the first to hear the good news. They were the first to see the tomb was empty. They were the first to encounter the risen Lord, all because they drew close to Christ. And my friends, that is how you and I can find stability in this uncertain and unstable world. Draw close to Christ. Turn to the cross. Call on his name. Look to Jesus like your life depends on it, because at times it might. So how do we do that in a real way in this fickle and unchanging world? Draw near to Christ by opening the Bible, hearing the words of Scripture and how God is speaking to you. Draw close to Christ by praying, by making time to hear God's voice in your life today and now. Draw close to Christ by searching for the face of Christ in the faces of the poor and the hungry and the forgotten and the hopeless. Because Jesus said, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do to me." The faithful ones of Holy Week found stability not because the world was stable, but because they drew close to the one who is always faithful and always stable. After all, today, don't we live in a world where the political winds are always shifting, where the angriest voices are oftentimes the loudest, and they're yelling in opposite and conflicting directions? One minute the market is soaring, the next recession. One day the crowd cries Hosanna, the next crucify him. And this chaotic storm can get into us. We swing from confidence to collapse, from certainty to confusion, from optimism to deep despair. We are desperate for stability in this unstable world, and that stability can be found in Jesus. When Desmond Doss joined the army in World War II, he wouldn't fight, he wouldn't carry a gun, so he became a medic. And they sent him, this quiet, prayerful soul of a man, into one of the fiercest battles of the war on the cliffs of Okinawa. He was surrounded by explosions and the constant fire of machine guns. The air was thick with smoke and with screams and with suffering. The earth itself seemed to shake beneath his feet with instability that's unimaginable as artillery shells and bombs exploded all around. And yet, Desmond didn't run. He didn't hide. He didn't give in to the chaos and the noise. Right in the middle of that madness, he prayed. Right there, bullets flying, bombs falling, he drew close to Christ. And then he got up and he ran straight into the fire. No gun, no shield, just his medic's bag and his prayer. And when he found a wounded soldier, he dragged him to the edge of this cliff and he slowly, painstakingly lowered this man to safety below. And then he stopped again and he prayed. And then he did it once more. He ran back into the chaos and found another person to save. And after every person, he stopped and he prayed. He drew close to Christ. Again and again, 75 times, 75 souls, 75 lives he pulled from the jaws of death. Desmond Doss was awarded the Medal of Honor, the United States' highest military decoration for his actions, becoming the first conscientious objector ever to receive this award. Now, hopefully you and I never find ourselves in the middle of a literal battlefield like that. But life does have its battles, doesn't it? There are days when it feels like everything is exploding and the voices of anxiety and fear are as deafening as those explosions on Okinawa. You may not be staring into the smoke of war, but maybe you have stared into the smoke and fog and uncertainty of a future that's filled with anxiety and fear. And in those moments, when the chaos is loud, when the path is unclear, when the voices are screaming, do what Desmond did. Stop. Pray. Draw close to Christ. After all, the repentant thief on the cross turned to Jesus even when all hope seemed lost. He drew close to Christ. And the centurion who wasn't even Jewish, who probably couldn't fully comprehend what he was witnessing, had a sort of conversion. Surely this is the Son of God. He drew close to Christ. And the faithful women, even in the midst of the chaos and the fear, stood at the foot of the cross and followed the body of Jesus. They drew close to Christ. And we are called to do the same. After all, it's not the absence of chaos that brings peace and stability. It is in our lives the presence of Christ. Draw close. Amen.